Oh, yeah. What was that again? Let me hear that. Four. Yes. Great feature in the Tal Grace Marketing Media Studio today. Welcome to Game 25, Bloopers for Life. 25 times, it deserves something like that.
Hey, normally, when you hear an air horn, that means get off the golf course.
We will have some fun with this. Hopefully, we have a golf clap or...
I'll find a golf clap.
Oh, we got to get this thing going. But hey, everybody, welcome. Loopers for Life, Game 25. We are back in the studio here, powered by Tal Grace Marketing and Media. I'm with
What's up?
Cousin Rock. T-Rock from the block, T-Gridge. We're still missing our looper. He's out on the golf course.
What is he doing?
I mean, I don't know. He's just sitting around Facebooking for all I know. I mean, dude, he just like, you know, maybe he just gave it up and he's got a local golf metro.
I was thinking about this the other day. Can you imagine? So he doesn't have a wife, right? He's single.
Right.
And he just caddies for rich dudes all day long. They put him on private planes.
He flies private.
Flies him all over the place.
He's the French Lick. If he wants to go gamble, he goes
dude's got an interesting
life. I mean, he's posting, he's got Larry Bird's 2-iron that he gets to swarp. I mean,
that's right.
How many people could say they hit Larry Bird's 2-iron? I mean, bro, if I ever had a chance, I mean, number one, I wonder if you can hit it. I mean, but I would definitely hit
2-iron.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 2-iron. No, I'm not saying I wonder if I could hit a 2-iron. I'm just saying, you know, you don't. Could you imagine being the guy that hits a ball and that 2-iron flies off, the head flies off, and it's Larry Bird's? It looked like a 3 going in, Larry fadeaway.
I don't know, man. I just Joey lives a life. Man. It's interesting. I don't know if I'd want the life, but he lives an interesting life.
Well, you know, when you sign up to be a caddy and a professional looper, man, I mean, you know, it is a life. It's a lifestyle. It's kind of like the guy that we had on who was the looper for the winning lady at the PGA Championship, that senior PGA thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he wants to go out on tour.
What he wants to do.
Yeah, there's guys that we know that, you know, all the way through the Valhalla ranks that have wanted to get that bag and be out on tour. And I mean, you know, it is a lifestyle. And they all are pretty much, you know, notorious for that. I mean, you know, when you go get a looper and you're in Pinehurst or you're somewhere, you're going to get a character.
Right.
I mean, not only was he going to kind of have, you know, maybe some good reads or something like that. I mean, they're going to come with some stories and about the people that they play with, you know, the private planes that they've hopped on. Like, I mean, for all we know, this guy's in Dubai at the Creek Club.
Right.
And having, you know, some sort of yacht and out there just sipping on some.
Who knows?
I mean, Joey's this guy. I mean, he does it all.
No.
Well, we got a big week. And last week, we took a week off of our featured guests, and what a great response. And just like to thank Mike Thomas, who's a close friend of mine, for coming in. And, you know, Game 25 on Loopers for Life, I mean, we've really moved the needle here.
Yep.
And not just trying to hype ourselves up or hype what we're doing up. You know, obviously, we're talking about golf, talking about upcoming events, talking about Kentucky golf, you know, just the game in general, looping, getting some more caddy stories. I can't wait to do that. But really moving our needle and guests. And as we come to a close and doing so many of these, Teague, we set out and said, hey, let's try to do 30. Right?
Yeah.
And when we started the year late. I mean, we didn't pick it up until right before the Players' Championship, I believe.
Yep.
And so right after I came out of game one, I probably have it on here. I'll tell you that. But, you know, now that we're starting to get a little ability to get some guests in, I'm excited for the next few weeks coming up because we're going to produce some good quality.
Well, I haven't told you this yet. So our normal numbers were kind of 700 to 800 listens a week, which honestly was pretty good for a podcast of our size. The Mike Thomas one, we were about 5,000.
Well, you know, and right after that Mike Thomas one, there was a lot of Tiger Woods news broke.
Yeah.
I felt like we broke that.
I mean,
we asked the question, Tiger going to play again? And Mike, who's
was on it.
Nobody is inside that circle more.
Isn't it wild,
than Mr. Thomas right now.
Teaching Charlie.
I mean, right. So he knows what's going on. He can see Tiger probably tipping a little bit.
Oh, yeah. He knows?
You're right.
He's in the backyard.
And and his comment was, hey, somebody who's great like that, they don't want to be told what they're going to do.
Yep.
And, you know, and everybody has written him off. And just like, you know, we told Mike, I mean, you know, I just hope to see the guy at the Masters. But if he can come back and bring it, I mean, you know, we already know the needle that he is. And we're going to have to talk about that. I mean, you know, some things that happen afterwards, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Right.
You know, but what really happened afterwards is after we asked that question, there was a lot of people that across the golf community started saying, hey, well, Tiger Woods is coming back. Yeah. And they asked tour pros, you know, and then the tour pros were were like, hey, you know what? I think he's going to play again.
Well,
he was in the news too, to be fair.
Yeah.
Even though the fair is in August.
Yep.
But he was in the news because he was announcing his field for his event, his charity event that he holds in the Bahamas,
right?
And everything like that. So I mean, is it the Bahamas? Oh, hey, I lost myself. Bahamas or Bermuda? I can't remember, but it's right Bahamas. There. Oh, here we go. Little for all of our Facebook Live listeners, we're having a little.
You're fine. It's your headphones.
Oh, is that right? I love that, man.
So it's just your
all right. I like that. So a lot of things going on in the golf world since we took off. I mean, outside of us just breaking Tiger Woods and coming back on tour.
Mm-hmm. and who's teaching Charlie Woods.
And who's teaching Charlie Woods and how Joey's on a yacht. And he's most likely at the Dubai Creek and Yacht Club, which is where the Pacific Amateur. That's another thing that's on the event that I want to talk about, the Pacific Amateur.
Okay.
It is a world amateur championship.
Any of your guys playing? Any of the TGI?
There is no TGI guys playing because you have to be not from America. You can be anywhere in the world, right?
That's why.
And that is why it's a world amateur. This is the one that the Masters worked with the RNA to create.
Okay.
And allows both the winner, an exemption into the following year's tournament. So
cool.
Essentially, Hideki Matsuyama got to play.
Because of that?
Yeah. Yeah. This is back in 2010. So in 2010, he was the first. They started in 2009, got a field going. 2010, Hideki wins it. 2011 was the first year that they allowed both an exemption into both of those events.
Yeah.
And what has done for the game globally. And then that goes into another topic that we got to cover this morning. Another global golf tour that is basically going to be the Asian tour. The basis that is, something that Greg Norman is going to be the commissioner, CEO, that he really kind of fought Tim Fishman back in the day in the late 90s, brought about, hey, we need a world tour, not just a, PGA tour and a European tour. We need a global tour. And that got shot down quickly. And he was a villain for that. And so all the history that goes along with that, that comes out this week, too, that they're going to have a 10-team event. And we got to talk about that, T, because, there's some interesting positioning and jockeying going on for, who's going to be the best players in the world. So we're going to cover that. And then finally, we have got to talk about one more thing, T, today, and that is this Player Impact Program, bro.
Player Impact
Program. How about this? The PGA Tour announces that they're going to do a $40 million yearly bonus for the top 10 influencers in golf. Well, guess what? You're giving money to Tiger Woods every year. Yeah. He didn't even play, but now
he deserves it.
Whatever that percent for the number one player, whatever they decide it is, if they don't give it to Tiger, that's a shame.
The no laying up guy said, Tiger, give him all $40 million. We're gonna play this game, give it all to him.
Yeah, and that is the truth.
Truth.
Or is this looking at all the guys who are down the list, that don't have the TV ratings, that don't have the Google searches and whatnot, that are the Max Homas of the world, that are best follows on Twitter. These type of guys. What about the guys that are grinding, at the bottom 125? How does that not kind of come down? Because I just tell you, PGA Tour, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, and Tiger Woods, and Rory McIlroy, and Jon Rahm, you take your top 10 that you're going to pick. They don't need your money, bro.
They don't.
They don't.
Here's what's interesting to me.
They'll take it.
I'm looking through this Player Impact Program thing, right? And so basically, it's going to be based on SEO, so search engine optimization.
Right.
It's going to be based on social influence. So, whoever has the hottest girlfriend is going to be making more money.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Give Dustin Justin.
Of course.
Dustin's winning then.
Well, that Paige Sporanek should be making some of this money. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand. Look, I get why they're doing it. They're trying to compete with this new Premier Golf League thing, right?
Right.
But at the same time, it's I'm in this SEO world, and it's going to be a mess how they're going to try to figure out who we're giving money to based on searches, based on hits, based on social influence.
How about Jim Herman? Know. Jim Herman is just outside the top 10. You know who Jim Herman is?
Who the hell is Jim Herman?
Jim Herman is an old school, he's been a pro, but you follow him on Facebook or on Twitter. He's got 1,000,000,000 followers, and he kills it. The guys that are on the outside of this are just, you know,
all right,
the names. I got Jim Herman. I got Jim Herman, Justin Rose, Sergio Garcia, M. Poulter, Westwood, Finau, Morikawa, you know, Matsuyama. I mean, Xander.
Have you gotten on TikTok yet?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
All right. I've got to show you this video. There's this video of these two crazy looking kids that have tattoos everywhere, all over their face. Their hair is all crazy. It's all sticking up, different colors. And they have that. They can't sing, but they have this song where I'm an island boy. And it goes back and forth. They're making millions of dollars. But the deal is everybody's making fun of them.
Right.
This is what it's going to become. Right. So some golfer is going to be a nut job. He's going to do something crazy on TikTok. All of a sudden, he's going to be up in this top 10, and they're going to start giving him money. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I see where they're going with this, and I think that, you know, obviously all these type of players would probably look at it, and that donation would be made to their foundation or charities.
Okay,
And so now, you know, I can buy that. I mean, you know, as long as it's going to a charitable thing, and there's no doubt, and that's one of the greatest things, and I think we have talked about this in the past, about the PGA Tour. I mean, their donations and what they do for the local communities and raising funds, although they're making millions upon millions with these TV rights and all that, but, you know, it is a very charitable progress. I mean, or process. I mean,
oh, it is. So the all PGA these Tour is amazing.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, the money that they pump into Lexington when they come with the Barbersol, it's even going to be better now that the Barbersol is not
British Open.
Off event, and so you're going to have a better quality field. But,
totally agree.
You know, it's just one of those things that the world is changing. It's changing by TikTok. It's changing by Instagram. I mean, it's, you know, Facebook. It's not changing by Facebook anymore. Sorry, Mark Zuckerberg.
Hey, do you remember the Catch Me Outside girl? Catch Me Outside then, when she was on Dr. Phil.
Okay.
So you don't any of this stuff.
No, so but I like this.
There's this girl, she was like...
I know that ain't nobody got time for that.
Well, so here's what I'm getting at. These are the people that are famous via social.
All right.
So this is what you're competing with, and it does. How about making money winning golf tournaments?
How do people, like, what corporation is paying for TikTok? Is it Wrigley's Gum?
Everybody.
I mean, you know,
Everybody. That's where your influence is. Everybody.
Yeah, but then you're influencing. I mean, are they just getting it just because you're tagging them? I mean, there's not any ads that are coming up. Or you're just seeing the ad.
Yeah, that.
I mean, I still, as a consumer,
you're holding a Bang energy drink. Or
now what they're doing, though, I mean, you know, and I know the Bang energy drink is going to go there, and the ads on there. I mean, you know, they're getting your data somehow, right?
Oh yeah,
you're right. And so they're taking you. I mean, you know, that's already been proven. I watched a great thing on 60 Minutes this week.
Yeah, it's scary.
It was an Israeli.
Scientists
and mathematicians. It was great, man.
Obviously, we're a marketing agency here, right?
Right.
So some of our clients are golf courses, and I can target people that have been on a golf course that previous week. Right. I know where you're going.
Right.
Via Facebook. Facebook's following you around.
Yeah.
I know if you've been to church.
Right.
I know what kind of golf ball you're hitting. I mean, it's scary, man. It really is.
Well, I mean, you know, and that's this with this player impact program. I mean, you know, and that's going to be the interesting thing that comes out of it. I mean, you know, they're going to obviously look, and this is where the world is going, and how money's going to come in. And they're going to take their TV money and their website money and their Twitter follow money that they're getting to. I mean, you know, and it's probably a new revenue line for the PGA Tour, right?
It is.
Has to be. And I mean, you know, and they're saying, okay, hey, I'll chuck it up and give it to the, you know, the guys who are making it happen for us.
Yep.
But, you know, again, my point is those guys don't need it.
Yeah.
You know, let's figure out, like, at a tour, how about having a tournament for the bottom 75, and the bottom 75 players on the tour, you know, they get to play in all inclusive $2.5 million purse. You know, who's not invited? Well, you know, let's have an invitational for those dudes, because I think that would be a good tournament.
It would.
You know, I think I really do. I mean, you know, and it would give somebody a chance to get a dub, and you know, who knows what happens after that. So, you know, this thing is going to be interesting, especially when they start shelling out the dollars, and, you know, it's going to the Big Ten, as we've already talked about who they are, and all the guys that are, you know, 11 through 20. I mean, they're going to have to just ask for retweets, man.
It's still, man. So, like, the picture here that I'm looking at, it's got Tiger, Spieth, and Fowler. Fowler is an influencer. There's no doubt about it. How many kids have you seen wearing the Puma?
For 15 years.
But dude can't make a cut. And it's like, I don't know.
Better. He can't win a major. I mean, you know,
he's gotten it back. But he went through a phase there where there's a lot of guys better than him.
Right.
I don't know. It's an interesting concept. I get it. This is business, right? This is how business works.
Right.
So I understand why they're going this route. I hope it doesn't become a mockery.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll see. I don't think it'll become a mockery. I just think that, you know, the only thing I can see, the greatest thing is like guys like, you know, Herman. I mean, you know, retweeting and say, hey, give me some retweets. Yeah. And, I mean, you know, getting more creative with their social thing, going to get out to the game of golf. You know, you bring up an interesting topic, though, like Paige Renee. I mean, you know, that girl, Mullins is her last name. Troy Mullins, the Trojan goddess. I mean, that girl is bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, how does this factor down to the other programs? I mean, is the LPGA going to be able to do this or not?
Hell no.
They're not. I mean, and so, like, can you take some of this money and earmark it over to here? I mean, I think you have to. If you're going to look at what we're trying to do is growing the game and this is going to be an influencer game, then, you know, let's feed it down to them. We're watching them on TV. And now, you know, with Greg Norman's tour over here on the Asian tour, the LIV Golf Investment, you know, they're looking to pay these guys, you know, straight up. You don't have to go play well to get paid here.
So I was reading somewhere, Josh, where they have these charity pro-ams, right, on Mondays. And then sometimes we get these big names, they have auctions on who you get to play with, who your pro is.
Yeah, right.
Paige Sporanek is the number one.
Oh,
she makes more money for these charities than anybody. And she's a TikTok star. She's not even a golfer. She just hits golf balls on social media.
Right.
And more, and people pay more money for her than Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, she was also to the, you know, on the School of Golf, and she did the Golf Channel for a little bit.
I mean,
you know, I hear what you're saying, because, I mean, you know, she may have played college golf,
not
but
even
she's,
on the LPGA.
She is an influencer, right.
She's huge.
Right.
People want to be around her. And it's crazy.
And that's going to be, you know, again, as the game changes, and we're seeing that growth. I mean, you know, we talked about it, you know, after we spoke with Michael about Justin. I mean, you know, what him and Ricky and, you know, Smiley Kaufman, you know, what they did on their spring break back in the day. I mean, you know, how many people
talk about a name that fell off.
Yeah, I know it. I called him Callie Smallman. Hey, Callie Smallman, you got to get your game better. Come on, Pods.
Yeah, he's
But, you know, Smiley, I mean, you know, those 2 years that they went down to Bermuda or the Bahamas or whatever they did, and they just had, you know.
Hey, you know what they were rocking, though, don't you?
No shirts.
And the Club Pro buggy cooler.
Oh,
on the front.
Well,
of the cart.
Who wouldn't want to rock
They were rocking the buggy cooler, man.
This section is sponsored by Club Pro products. I need a little button on that one right there. What you got for me on that? This is where we're at. Club Pro products with the best cooler ever for a cart invented. I mean, you know, just right in the front, you could get the 12-pack in there.
Hard 12-pack, man. You could fit 18 beers.
Oh, my gosh. The only hard thing about that is just putting that onto the front of your cart and pulling
use,
the beer out of your bag.
I mean, you pull the Golf Academy one?
Huh?
Did you use the Golf Academy one?
Oh, we used it during the summer. Yes, sir, we did. Good. Yeah, I mean, we had it stocked with some, especially during all my camps, I had it stocked with Powerades and Gatorades.
It's beautiful,
and
man. It doesn't take up any space anywhere else.
The only thing is that you got to pull the beers out and put them in front. I mean, you know, you can't just have them in your bag. I mean, you know, when you're doing the Metro play like Joey's doing somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
So, but, you know, the influencers are definitely the move of the game. I mean,
you're right.
That's where we're going. It's the move of the world.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, as you know, it's in baseball.
Again,
it's everywhere.
You should give it all to Tiger, the way he's influenced golf.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, and if it goes to his charity, I'm fine with that. If it goes to his pocketbook, I mean, you know, he's going to take it. I mean, and I'm sure he'll take it and do something good with it, because he's, you know, he's proven that all of his charitable donations through the course of time, I mean, he's been one of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt. And he is the best. And it's amazing that he's still moving the needle right now.
It's wild, isn't it?
Right. I mean, and, you know, and but he was in the news a lot this year, you know, and with the car wreck and you know, and him not being able to play in some of these events to where he was going to be the defending champion.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that, you know.
I bet if you talk to a bunch of your juniors, they all know who Tiger is.
Well, that's the greatest thing that happened. Is that, you know, we all knew Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
They got to see Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And you know their version of Tiger Woods was the best version in my opinion.
Yeah,
he had the shanks.
Right.
he had the chip yips.
Yep.
I mean, he was terrible. He came back out there. Yeah. Maybe he rushed it. Maybe he was just trying to be healthy. And the guy was mentally not there.
Yeah.
But when he you know the perseverance of that was awesome. T.
He did.
And then he came back that following year and was like, "Hey, I'm just doing this myself.
Yeah.
I'm going back to being Tiger Woods." And slowly he started getting it back. You could see a short game, and it made the news circle. And then all of a sudden, bam! Here comes the British Open, and he's competing
with
Carnoustie, and he's in it on the final nine.
Yeah.
You know, at Carnoustie, and you know, although he didn't win it, that just kind of led him up to where he had a solid showing at the PGA Championship.
Yep.
And then he went and he got that dub at the Tour Championship, which was
all the people following
the most historic thing ever. I mean, you know, on Bobby Jones's home club.
Super cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a super cool, and then to come follow that back up with the Masters.
Yeah.
And you know, and after the Masters, it can be said that he did not have a great year because he didn't really get any more wins until he won over in Japan. But you know, at the same time, you know, he had to enjoy that ride.
Hey, I had tears in my eyes when he won the
Masters. That was the greatest day ever in sport. I mean, it was the greatest day in sport in my life.
Yep.
I mean,
I was able to watch it with my son, and it was cool.
And so it was cool to see all these little kids be able to see who Tiger really was.
Yep.
And I mean, and that fear was shown that day. You know, and Brooks Koepka could say, "Oh, well, you know, I looked him in his eye," and he did. I mean, you know, he beat him at the PGA Championship at Belrive
before that.
You know, Tiger again competing on the back nine.
Yeah.
And in the past, people would have faulted. I mean, you know, Phil would have.
There was that Tiger fear.
Right. Yeah. And it might not have been there, but it was there that day on that Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, they felt it in the golfing gods.
The roars were a little bit different.
Oh, it was awesome.
When he make a putt.
It was
awesome. The roars were just a little different.
So let's go into, off this and just kind of go into the influencers. I mean, you know, a guy like Greg Norman, I mean, he has influenced the game of golf
in a major way,
more than probably a lot of people give him credit. Yeah. He was one of the great stars, you know, of golf in the mid 80s to the 90s.
They put golf on the map in Australia.
Yeah. Well, golf was always on the map in Australia. And let's talk about that. I mean, that's a whole nother show. I mean, you got Peter Thompson.
But in a mainstream way.
Oh, he definitely was.
And then the Greg Norman
he was
brand.
The world number one, so he did in that regards, you know, he definitely did.
And
Peter Thompson, though, is one of the greatest Open champions of
fair enough time. but Greg Norman is one of the first people to commercialize golf in the way he did with his hat, his brand, his wine,
he was able to
his
do
horses.
It he was able to do it that Seve couldn't do it because Seve's English was broken at that time, you know. I mean, you know, everybody's gonna not want to have him on his commercials unless he just says see, and he did. And I would want Seve on my commercial, but Greg Norman definitely commercialized golf.
He did.
And I mean, you know, and he brought his brand. He took what Jack and Arnie had done and took it to an international level.
He did, and started selling products with
it. And so now, you know, you look at what he's trying to do. I mean, you know, and I've read some things about this, and this is this global tour, this LIV Golf Investments, $200 million sponsored by some Saudi corporations that, you know, have pumped money into all kinds of things, whether that's corporations or corporations that are terrorist corporations, whatever. Yeah. Who cares? You know, this is going for golf. And so this $200 million is going to guarantee that golf is going to grow globally in areas that are, you know, really kind of a forgotten area. Nobody wants to go to Indonesia.
Right.
You know, and there's great players coming out of Indonesia. In this Pacific Amateur, this upcoming week, there's a 15-year-old playing from Indonesia.
That's cool.
And this tournament that's upcoming, there's a 15-year-old and a 63-year-old.
Oh, wow.
63-year-olds playing from Lebanon.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, this is going to take golf to those areas with this tour. You know, they're going to pay appearance fees. And just like Norman said, you know, when he came out, being from Australia, you know, the PGA Tour was the ultimate prize, but you had to take steps. And I mean, and at first it wasn't the Australian Tour. You might play, you know, a few events down in the Queensland, but then you would go and you played on the Asian Tour. And the Asian Tour led you to the European Tour. The Asian Tour was always kind of like the feeder into the European Tour.
Right.
Right. And then, you know, the Asian Tour really kind of created the Japanese Tour, you know, and that tour is just huge and still is currently huge, even though they're in COVID lockdowns. But, you know, as the world opens back up, this concept of having a global game and having more tournaments that are you know, on the eyes of their communities.
Right.
I think it's awesome. I really do. And I think Greg Norman is the man to lead it, just for what you said just a minute ago.
Well, he knows how to commercialize it.
Yeah,
and,
I mean.
I tell you, he's going to change. Obviously, it's going to be huge for the Asian Tour.
Right.
And as I read a little bit about it here, it's pretty cool what they have planned. It'd be interesting to see if they steal any of the Americans away.
Well, that's where the fight's going to come down. I mean, you know, and it's already pretty much going down. I mean, you know, the PGA Tour Commissioner, Jay Mormon, or, yeah, whatever his name is. I mean, he's pretty much Jay Monahan. I mean, you know, he said, you're either with us or you're not.
Yeah.
Are you with that? I mean, so he's drawing a line in the sand.
He is.
And he's saying,
he
hey.
Has to.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, does he really? I mean, these guys are going to Europe. They're playing. If they wanted to go to Japan and play in a Japanese golf tour and get paid for it, they'll be able to do it. I mean, to me, he's saying, I mean, you know, he's trying to, you know, tighten his reins on it. And I don't think that's, you know, honestly, I don't think that's a great concept in today's world. I mean, in today's world,
yeah,
and you know, look,
your point,
everything's inclusive, so let's all be inclusive.
The travel's not easy, so the top guys that can afford the private jets are really the ones doing it.
Right.
And so it's a good point.
But it's gonna put money into the Asian Tour, so it's going to give it. It's kind of like going back to this influencer thing. I mean, you know, here's a great idea. Take the top bottom half of the point standings and give those 75 guys an opportunity to get paid.
Yeah.
You know, and for these guys that are on the Asian Tour wanting to get to the European Tour still, I mean, you know, ultimately the goal is to chase the PGA Tour.
Right.
But now there's tours in South America. There's tours in, you know, South Africa.
Right.
You know, every continent pretty much has a tour, except for Russia. We already talked about that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's their problem. Yeah. But, you know, I think that, like, when you look at this, I mean, this will be a big benefit for the game of golf. Somewhat like in the reason why, I mean, the Pacific Amateur is on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you're going to get the game shown more globally. You're going to have people that are going to compete, but you have to have those top 10 players.
Right.
I mean, you know, you have to have the guys that want to come in, like a Jon Rahm,
right.
Roy McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, I mean, Justin Thomas, bring those guys in, because, you know, that's what's really going to move the needle for them.
Yep.
And so how much of that $200 million they're going to get paid? I mean, is this still just like a thing that, you know, Greg Norman has a vendetta against the PGA Tour? I don't think it is. I just think that he's the right guy to have some sort of new branding. And we're at the time that, you know, like with the influencers.
Well, and
we're at a time that where corporations are rebranding themselves.
He's stepping away from his company for the first time ever, letting kind of other people run it. To go run this LIV thing. So I don't know, man. It'll be interesting. I hope it works for a few reasons, but at the same time, I hope they don't steal some of the players away. So.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you know, and really, though, I mean, when they steal some of the players away, it's probably going to be an off event. You know, let's hope it's not here when, you know, the PGA Tour is at the Barbasol. I mean, you know, for us personally.
Right.
Right? Because this is going to be the first year where we're going to have some bigger names in the field. But, you know, I think that when you look at the average golf fan, though, what are you tuning in for?
Tuning in for the players,
the Masters, the Open.
Oh, you mean the tournament?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you're tuning in for the players too.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
I hear
yeah.
what you're saying. I thought you were talking about the Players Championship.
No, you're right. That's why the Ryder Cup was so big. It's the Ryder Cup. It's the Masters. It's the PGA. It's the Open. And some of the bigger ones. Like, I like watching the ones where they have the rowdy crowds, and, you know, there's some fun ones to watch.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Well, and I mean, so you're always like, hey, this is going to be terrible. You can't have these guys that are going to do this and make, you know, mockery of the game. But I like watching those guys. I like the rowdy clowns.
No. What I'm getting at is this whole player development program, if they're going to pay money to people being stupid on the internet, I don't know how that works.
Right.
But I love watching the guys go win these golf tournaments when people are throwing beers all over themselves. I think that's fun.
No doubt. That's why the Waste Management's in business every year.
I
mean, that's a must-see TV right there.
It is.
You know, that week is for sure. So let's move on right here into the Asia Pacific Amateur. It's at Dubai Creek. I mean, and again, this thing, and the interesting thing about this place is, like, Dubai, when you watch the timelines of how that city was built,
right?
It was built on a golf course, man. I mean, you know, have you seen that? The European Tour, they hosted that the race to Dubai or whatnot, they built a golf course in the middle of the sand, and basically Manhattan popped up around that golf course.
I saw the picture where it was like 20 years ago.
Right. 20 years ago, bro.
Or maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was.
No, it was 20 years. It was,
and then all of a sudden, all these huge buildings.
It's crazy.
Unbelievable picture.
It started with a golf course.
Unbelievable picture.
It started with a golf course. I mean, they put green grass and sand.
Yeah.
And then once they started doing that, you know, the skyline developed around the clubhouse. And then now what they do out there in the middle of the Red Sea when they're freaking dredging up the sand, and they got all the sand art homes.
Yep.
Could you imagine being out there? I mean, they must not like have any rain whatsoever. I mean, like the water must be perfect.
Yeah, but man, the oil money over there is insane, isn't it?
Yeah, trust me. I mean, I'm paying for that oil money at the pump right now.
All of us are.
Let's go. But I mean, you know, this tournament this week, the Pacific Amateur, is it a Dubai Creek and Yacht Club?
Okay.
That's where Joey is, sipping on the Mimosa right now. I mean, you know, he's over there looking for a bag to get to. And it has, you know, like I said, I mean, this is a great thing about amateur golf. I mean, this really is. Whether it's the Kentucky Amateur or it's the United States Amateur or it's the Pacific, you know, the Asia Pacific Amateur. You got a 15-year-old playing from Malaysia. His name is Rizzo Rahizam.
Okay.
Rizzo. The R. Let's go double R.
Come on, Rizzo.
And then we got a 63-year-old Aki Rachit from Lebanon.
All right.
I mean, if they're paired together, I mean, how cool would that
be? Incredible.
I mean, that's why golf is so great right there. Yeah. I mean, you know, competing at the highest level, you have a 15-year-old and a 63-year-old gentleman.
Pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. They also have the world number one player in the field, Keita Nakajima, which we talked about. He really don't know how he played.
Number one amateur?
Yeah, he is the number one amateur in the world from Japan. And the interesting thing about this is they have 37 players in the field that all go to U.S. colleges. So this is essentially an NCAA event.
Why is golf in Asia so big?
Well, golf around the world is so big because of guys like Greg Norman and the Australian Golf Federation. You know, the Australian Golf Federation and the Swiss Golf Federation showed people from different areas how to get together. And I think that what happened with Australia being the first, you know, and when I mean get together, you know, I find kids that are on the Olympic kind of program and coming in, and they go and they learn how to do, you know, just golf specific training, and, you know, it's 24/7 and that's what they do. The Australian Golf Federation led to the Korean and China Golf Federations, all these, and Greg Norman has had influence with all those federations, you know, and speaking, and the growth of the game definitely has been, you know, from the likes of a lot of the great Japanese players. I mean, you know, we talked about that. I mean, Hideki Matsuyama, obviously right now, but Soy Aoki back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's just – it's a
jumbo.
Right. I mean, you know, there is a great growth coming from some of their
Are there really good teachers over there?
Has
I mean, because these guys, these young players can play, man.
Well, there's good teachers everywhere. And I mean, and they send them to schools. I mean, you know, the thing about it is we're only isolated in America. You know, and you know this. I mean, you know, Americans do not want to travel anywhere but America. And why not? I mean, you know, let's go. You know, I want to go to McDonald's in South Dakota rather than.
I'm with you.
You
I'm
know, an outhouse in Jabbar. But I mean, you know, the thing is that, you know, if you're from outside of America, you travel.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like going over to Europe. I mean, you know, how many countries do you get to go in and see different cultures?
Right.
Right. I mean, you know, you can see a different culture. When I go from Kentucky to Alabama, I mean, there is.
Oh, there's different
You look how I said Alabama right there. No, I go talk Alabama right here. Let's roll tide.
There's no
But, I mean, you know, when you go to these different areas, you can experience that culture difference, but there's still a McDonald's down the road that you can go. Well, it used to be able to be open for a clean bathroom, but it might not be now.
Right.
I mean, you know, shoot, you better go bathroom before 9 o'clock, but you're just going to, I think it's cool that the Masters, you know, the old guard of golf, the Masters and the British, you know, and the RNA created this tournament.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome. And I mean, they get invites into the field for the following year. How special would it be to be in the field for the 150th playing of the Open Championship at St. Andrews?
Incredible.
At St. Andrews. I mean, that's upcoming next year.
I've played.
Yeah. St. Andrews? Mm-hmm. Oh, can't wait. We'll have a talk about that. Well, let's move on. I mean, you know, hey, good luck to all those. I really hope that 15-year-old makes the cut. I mean, that would be awesome.
I'm rooting for the reigning U.S. Mid-Am champion to win.
His name?
Let's go America. His name is...
Even though he's not American, let's go America. I like it.
Lucas Michael.
Lucas Michael. Let's go Lucas Michael. I'm with you. Let's move into the PGA Tour, and this is our final segment. Give me a little something-something right here. Oh, yeah. Final segment. This is your fantasy time, sponsored by Cousin T-Rock from the block. Let's and go. Ridge Rock Entertainment, for sure. I mean, he's going to have to make a phone-a-friend call in. And
I should phone a friend. I'm telling you, man, my cousin Jordan.
Oh, we're going to have him on. He's one of our guests.
I'm going to get him.
Yeah, he's one of our guests. I mean, we're gonna close this year with some guests.
He's close to being full-time fantasy golf.
Is that right?
That's all he does.
Dude, I love it.
Now, he spends some money every week, but he makes money, man.
Right.
It's insane.
Well, that's how it is.
He's so good at it.
We're going to go on the PGA Tour to the Worldwide Technology Championship at Mayakoba Resort, right. Which is on the Yucatan Peninsula area. It's kind of down on the I guess that would be the east coast of Mexico. Great golf tournament. Every year, I mean, it's a fantastic place. I mean, who would not want to play in this, right? It's 80 degrees. It's an all-inclusive resort.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, you're going to have a great experience. It's, ironically, is a Greg Norman golf course.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, you know, he's, again, globally, there's probably nobody that has done it better than Greg Norman until Tiger Woods came about.
Yep.
And so, you know, a lot of good players in the field this week, Teague. I mean, yeah, seven out of the top 20 players that are in the world. This will probably be the best field that you can watch on TV for the end of this year. I think there's a couple more tournaments that'll, you know, great golf courses. I know Sea Island's coming up, and Jarrett Wood's going to be in that one in a couple weeks. But, you know, this has got seven of the top 20 players in the world playing in it.
Justin Thomas is your
number one guy. $7.2 million purse. Victor Hovland is the defending champion.
He's playing.
A lot of great players. So, I mean, you know, he's in the field. Go ahead and tell me what you want.
All right. So, Mike, when we asked Mike, who was one of the better players that he's been around as he's seeing it, a name surprised me. His first name out of his mouth was Patrick Reed.
Captain America.
So, I'm going Patrick Reed. He's kind of down the list here. So he is he's about 15th or so as from a pick standpoint. He's made 4 out of 5 cuts already this year. He's a value from a fantasy play. So I think Patrick Reed is certainly somebody you want to look at.
I like that.
Somebody else that's done really, really well in cuts as far as this year is Zalatoris, has made 20 of 21 cuts.
Right.
Happy Gilmore's caddy, you got to give him a shout. He's the kid can play. So I like those two at your top. And then down kind of towards the bottom, you know, there's a few. Luke Donald's playing, a guy that I played some college golf with. Luke Donald can always play a little bit, and can't count him out. And then another guy that my dad had always been on that made some money with was Ricky Wurzynski. I think he's another good value play.
There you go. I mean, you know, and down here, I mean, this is like, again, $7.2 million on there. You got a lot of great players.
Yep.
You know, these guys, when they see a field like this, most likely could care less about the money. They want to beat the other guy.
Right.
Right. And I mean, you know, and that's the great thing about the game of golf and where we're at with that. And I mean, you know, you talk about JT, obviously, you know,
he's
I'm a homer.
Pick.
I mean, he's the top pick, but I'm going to go down just a little bit. I'm going to go with a true homer right here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Abraham Answer, the Mexican,
you know,
playing in Mexico.
Though, the only thing with Answer is he is the third most expensive guy in this tournament.
Right.
So he's at the top.
I like top heavy. You know how I like it.
I know, but I don't know that he's... For what you got to pay to get him, I don't know. I don't know.
Unless
you think he's going to
win. You're the fantasy play. I mean, you know, I'm just the top guy. I mean, you know, and I would just say, you know, and Abraham Answer has played well here. I mean, he's got four top 25s here. I mean, you know, he's at a home event. He's played, had a fantastic year. I could see him winning this just being in the home country and getting a dub.
Yep.
You know, also, too, top heavy is probably going to cost you some money on this. Billy Horschel. I mean, when you look at Billy Horschel, I mean, you know, he's making his first tour event.
Not really, though. He's kind of a value this
week.
Is he? Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, he's coming off his first event since winning the BMW championship over in the BMW PGA.
Let me give you an example. So Billy Horschel is $10,000 if you're doing DraftKings, and Justin Thomas is $11,200. So it's quite a bit less.
Quite a bit down. All right. And then you're going to, I mean, if I had to go a long shot, I'm going to go Camilo Villegas.
Oh, come on. He's not even playing, man.
I got to do it for my man Joey. I mean, you know, he's on a yacht in Dubai.
Oh, he is playing.
Oh, Camilo. Oh, that's my power play right there.
He is playing.
Yes, Camilo Villegas.
Hey,
he's right
made
there.
8 of 12 cuts.
Ah, dude, he's been balling. I mean, right. So he hurt Joey
and
Sears.
And he's got a top 10.
Sears might be able to get on that dude's bag. I mean, if he is in the right spot at the right time and Camilo's around.
I don't think Joey can speak Spanish.
Huh? No, Joey would figure it out. I mean, you know, he'd just be like, see, De Niro. De Niro, por favor. But you know, I'm looking forward to watching this tournament. I mean, I like watching tournaments that are on the ocean. So anytime that you watch that sea breeze, you know, get players.
Yep.
I'm in. Sign me up. Hey, thanks everybody for
game
listening.
Game 25.
We got fivers. We're gonna do five more for sure. We're gonna be bringing guests in. Powered by Tal Grace Marketing Media. Please find us on all of our social media outlets. We're on Apple. We're on BuzzFeed. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on everywhere. Come find us.
Let's go.